Thou shalt not steal. If you love all things, then you cannot steal because of the respect that you have for all things. And certainly, you shall not kill, because killing somebody is killing yourself, in essence. But there are certain stances, certain circumstances where it becomes necessary to break thou shalt not kill. And that is where it involves self-love and the well-being of other people. That you give yourself as a protector to a group of individuals that cannot protect. If an individual is trying to kill you, then you have to protect the group. And in doing so, you may have to harm and even kill this individual. This is where it becomes another one that should be the 11th commandment. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. From your popular entertainment, A little glimmer of philosophy and truth. As Tia put it, there is a lot of erroneous information, but little snippets, normally involving philosophies. Next question, please.
Well, along that same line, when she mentioned, the various life forms that we aren't even dealing with in the popular entertainment, there are things like the older versions or even the newer versions of Star Trek, which deal with life forms that aren't bipedal, that we would never have any glimpse of except through this. For example, Tribbles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're definitely not bipedal. They're a life form, and all they are is just a ball of fur. Cute story, but again, it emphasizes things that, go along with that. There's other things, they're just energy, mm-hmm. yet they are life forms.
Correct.
And they travel space.
Mm-hmm. These things that you see in your popular entertainment are just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What about things like Q?
You should talk to Ashtar.
That's pretty close, huh? Without the ego, probably.
Next time Ashtar is present, call him Q. Instead of Ashtar, call him Q.
I'll do so. I don't even get a laugh out of it, but I'll do so anyway.
You will later.
Okay.
You will also bring a smile to some very tired faces.
Alrighty, I'll do so.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Live long, prosper, and I'll be back.
Hi.
Hi, dear.
Yeah.
That was quite good. I like that.
Probably do some liquid for his throat.
Yeah, let me turn this up. Pause this.
Mm-hmm. That's back online? Good.
Yep.
But, as I was saying, it's not for me to say. That's between you and your loved one.
We're dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
No, essentially finding little relaxing bits of time throughout the day to kind of, keep that steady flow.
Yeah.
And I got a feeling that she talked me into not turning my alarm on last night, too.
How much did you oversleep by?
2 hours.
Probably.
I was in enough relaxed state where I was easily manipulated in that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, she's good at manipulating you. I sometimes wonder when I hear stories of sort of like, hello, my name's Russ. I'm the puppet of Kara.
but we have a wonderful relationship. So I encourage her whenever she'd like to help out in my directions. Perfectly fine. She has much more experience in these matters than I do sometimes. Why is the father having a twin soul on a higher dimension? Mm-hmm. I'll take full advantage of it whenever you can.
Okay. Fine. Hello.
Hey, sweetheart.
Yes, I had to tell Tia to butt out. She was going to redo the riot act.
I figured she would, but it wouldn't have much effect on whatever my decisions are.
Oh, correct. Correct. And we have to pursue our path for a particular reason. Okay, now, let us get on to more serious things. Let me address a healing issue. And last week we discussed dealing with mental problems. Now, let us move along to the next step of dealing with problems. And that is health problems created by negative actions, neglect, in essence. Now, why does somebody neglect themselves? Well, this accounts for many reasons. One is, they don't have the time. They don't have the energy. They don't have the ability. And they don't have the cognitive thought processes to realize that their behavior is causing the problem. Now, let us look at addiction as one of the neglecting factors. There are certain addictions which are beneficial. The addiction to food, the addiction to water. These are necessities. But let us look at some other addictions. Let us look at the addiction to alcohol. Now, alcohol is a depressant. It depresses the system. And it leads to a whole host of other problems, such as cirrhosis of the liver, stomach ulcers, intestinal problems, mental problems, bladder problems. These are things that can be dealt with if it is realized that alcohol is a problem. Now, having dealt recently with an individual that suffers from alcoholism, what did we learn? Well, we learned that first of all, you have to make the person aware of the problem. This is only the first step. Making the person aware of the problem. Okay, they're aware of the problem. Now you have to change their behavior to make them deal and address the problem, to get over the fact that alcohol has become a ruling factor in their life, that they are destroying themselves through using alcohol. But don't get me wrong. Alcohol is a great release. Helps you to relax. Helps you to sleep if it's needed. It helps you to lower your inhibitions so you can interact if you're feeling tense. These are great benefits. But when it becomes necessary to use alcohol repetitively, so that these functions can occur, you need to address the root problem, which is not the addiction, but the mental processes which are involved that make you hesitant in these situations? Now, getting back to how to make somebody that is aware that they have a drink problem start to address the problem. Well, there are many, many different ways of doing this. But they're all hard. And it dovetails nicely with Amol's dissertation last week and this week on self-love. You have to first of all make them aware of self-love, that they are worthy of love, that they do not need this negative stimuli and depressant in their life, that they can progress further on. Dealing with alcoholism is a very draining and day-by-day event. Having got them, she's quite correct, that cat does have big feet. Having got them to realize that their problem can be dealt with, that they can carry on functioning without this alcoholic stimuli, is something that has to be reinforced day after day, week after week. Most alcoholics stay alcoholics. The lucky few forsake alcohol and become functionally useful individuals. Some alcoholics are functioning useful individuals. But it must be emphasized that the health problems by using the substance outweigh any benefit whatsoever. Now let's move along to another addiction. And a very interesting addiction. First of all, on a side note, there was a lady that died recently at the age of 122. Do you know what one of her addictions were? She smoked. The only reason she stopped smoking was because she could no longer see her cigarettes and light them. I'm not saying that cigarettes are good. They're very, very bad. But they do serve a function. Now, the channeler smokes. Is there anything good from him smoking?
Mm-hmm.
Which is?
Control of various problems that would arise if he didn't smoke.
Mm-hmm. Such as?
Tension, stress.
I think he could deal with those without smoking. He has other ways of releasing his stress and his tension.
Well, it's been said that cigarettes are actually both a depressant and a stimulant.
Yes, they are.
They actually interact in the system in both ways, depending on how this it reads the system.
Correct.
Very smart substance, actually.
It is. Nicotine itself does not kill, not unless you overdose. Nicotine on its own does no harm to the system whatsoever. What they put it in there is what causes the problems. There are certain byproducts from the tobacco which cause problems. But let us say that the host, the channeler, did not have the need to smoke. There's no reason for him to smoke. He is in his current health condition. What use would smoking serve?
None, I can see it.
There is one. One medical use for smoking. Do you know what it's supremely good for? It's actually the nicotine that's inhaled into the system. It controls colitis. but it doesn't actually control it. What it does is it takes away the inflammation. It depresses the inflammation.
Well, what if they just took the nicotine out and made it just the nicotine as a substance to be used?
In a pill form?
Well, a pill or liquid. I mean, they've done it with 100 different substances.
Mm-hmm. You know what's the quickest way into the system?
Eyes?
No.
No?
Mm-hmm.
Drop of that on your tongue.
No. Much, it has to go down into the intestinal tract. It has to be digested by the area, or will pass through the area that is damaged. Actually, it will pass through that, the end product. Right. It takes anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes for the drug to interact. Now, what is the quickest way to get into the blood flow?
In smoking form?
Correct. Do you know how long that takes?
Seconds.
15.
Yeah, I know from my old days.
Correct. 15 at the maximum.
What if you inhaled it? Sorry? I mean, as in like as a gaseous form.
Yes, that would work. Well, that's what he's doing when he fires up a cigarette, correct?
Yeah, but if it was in like a gaseous form added with like oxygen or something.
That would work.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But you see that a harmful addiction does have a use.
Right.
And sometimes people are immune to the effects. The offspring of this 102-year-old lady that passed away just recently, they probably have a much higher tolerance to carcinogenics and cancerous substances.
Mm-hmm.
Having lived that length of time, that is like living 1,000 years for us. Those people are special. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So harmful addiction sometimes can serve as a purpose in an indirect way. Certainly cigarettes are very harmful. And I would prefer it if nobody took it up. But there are benefits sometimes. Something that I am prepared to admit, even though I have an intense disliking for cigarettes and the harm that it does, there are benefits. There are benefits to everything. There are benefits to alcohol. In moderation, it's fun. I drink. But somebody that drinks excessively to the point of obliteration serves no function whatsoever. Might as well hand them a handgun and say, get it over and done. They are killing themselves. But the occasional glass of wine, the occasional tipple, is beneficial, as is, I would much prefer that he smoked cigars than cigarettes. There are less harmful chemicals in cigars. But it's his choice. Okay, let us look at some other addictions. Food. Glorious food. Wonderful food. We need it. We have to have food. It is a necessity. But it can also be an addiction. Too little food, and you starve and die. Too much food, you become overweight and you die. The right amount of food is perfect. What do all these addictions have in common?
We get pleasure.
Yes, that is one thing, but not the thing I'm looking for. Okay, let's look at giving pleasure.
Okay.
Okay, what happens when you get pleasure?
Feel good.
Mm-hmm. But what goes on? What is the process that makes you feel good?
Oh, your brain relaxes.
Endorphins are released to give pleasure. A chemical reaction takes place. That's what I was looking for.
Ah.
A chemical reaction. Now, each one is very, very different. Each one is a necessity. Chemicals are released to give pleasure. Each one has a positive and negative effect. Each one serves as a lesson in learning. But how do we address them when they become problems?
Well, usually the best way is to replace them with something positive and something helpful.
Yes, but you've got to be very, very careful. For example, let us take alcoholism, as that is the one that we started with.
Mm-hmm.
What would you replace that with?
Something to do with learning or entertainment,
mm-hmm.
a hobby.
Yes, that can work, but there is a much better and easier way.
Hmm.
When I say easier, it is hard. All of the substitutes are hard. You have to address the root problem. As with drinking and eating, not so much with smoking. Smoking is a very hard one to deal with. But the principles can be used. You have to first of all diagnose why the person has the desire to drink to excess.
Well, it's a question between self-destructiveness and self-love.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lack of one and overabundance of the other.
Correct. So you have to activate the self-love. The same with eating disorders. You have to activate the self-love. Smoking, as I said, is a difficult one. Because, yes, if a person continually smokes, chain smokes, that then does become a mental and psychological situation that needs to be addressed. But when it's the occasional cigarette, and I mean the occasional being every so often, not continuously, then it is not so much of a mental problem, but of an addiction, an addictive nature where they actually need the cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
At predetermined times. Self-medication, in a way. The same with alcohol and food. It is self-medication. Learning to control that self-medication is the first step. You see, the addiction for alcoholism is subtle. You don't notice it until it's too late, and then it's got you. To get off of it has to be dealt with one of two ways. Cut off, no more, forever. Or through a subtle way that it is gradually replaced by something else where the person doesn't notice that they're not drinking as much at first. And when they do realize that they're drinking less, they are rewarded by feeling better and good by themselves. So it is a communication that needs to transpire. And it comes back very nicely, I think, to self-love and the growth and development. Now, any questions?
I can see where something that would make a person feel more self-love would be the best bet. So knowing the person as well as one could would be the first step in being able to treat that problem.
Well, sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes you can offer and you can offer and you can offer. For example, with the alcoholic that we mentioned to start off with, you offered and you offered and you offered. And what happened?
The addiction was too strong.
Mm-hmm. When Mark tried to help, even though it was for a brief period, there was a brief glimmer there. You see, sometimes it is necessary to be very subtle. You can offer and you can offer and you can offer. But first of all, it has to be accepted and be made aware that the offer is being made. But it has to be done sometimes subtly. And it takes a long, long, long time. Sometimes you can do it the other way, by making them cut off totally. What's your phrase for cutting off totally?
Cold turkey.
Doing it that way. Sometimes, and this is one of the more effective ways, it is best to do it, first of all, get the self-esteem going, and then cut off. The subtle approach with the harsh approach at the appropriate time. This is certainly a very effective way that works quite well. More questions, please?
What about with...
she has big feet.
Yes, she does. Giving them a... Because you don't want them to depend on you. You want them to depend on themselves more than anything else.
To start off with, they may need to depend on you.
True. But then that just replaces the addiction there.
Yes, but it's a much easier addiction to deal with. Something that, you know, by taking away a harsh addiction and having an addiction of depending on somebody is better than having a destructive addiction. That is the first step. You take away the destructive one for one that is less destructive, that is easier to deal with and address. And you keep on progressing up and up and up. By replacing the addiction with the addiction of need in somebody's company is the first step. An example is, let's say you have somebody that relies on you, that you have replaced that alcoholic addiction from.
Mm-hmm.
And they want you around 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And you say to them, look, I've got to go to the shops to buy food, otherwise we don't eat. Come with me. You take them to the shops. You're getting them out and you're getting them interested and interacting with other things. Supposing they don't want to go to the shops. You go, okay, you stay here. I will be back as quickly as I can. I promise you, I will not leave. You arrive at the shops. You call. Just wanted to check, make sure you're all right. I'll be home as quickly as I can. I'm just going into the shop right now. As soon as you come out, you call. Tell them, got the groceries. Got you something special. Got you a bar of chocolate. Got you a video to watch. Got you some music to listen to. Got you your favourite fruit. Got you your favourite coffee brand. Got you your favourite soft drink. First step. And you can go through this. And gradually you increase the time that you're away. You call frequently to start off with. And then gradually less frequently and less frequently. And you're getting them to rely more and more on themselves. It may take 2 months, may take 6 months, may take a year, may take even longer. But you are weaning them off of the second addiction.
Well, right now, it seems that there is more social pressure on addictions, especially smoking, than there ever has been before.
Oh, yes.
To where people, I mean, I know very few smokers who haven't tried or aren't trying to quit.
Yes, it's a very addictive substance. Do you know what is more addictive than cigarettes?
Heroin.
Uh-uh. Heroin gets you hooked quicker.
You mean cocaine?
Heroin.
I mean, no, but more addictive?
There is nothing more addictive.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It is the failure rate of people getting off of heroin is lower than people quitting smoking for the first time. People trying to get off heroin the first time succeed at a higher rate than first time smokers trying to quit.
Mm-hmm. So actually this thing we were talking about, this nicotine air mix or whatever,
mm-hmm.
That could be a viable product in the future to somebody.
Could be. So, let us round out on this dissertation.
Okay.
In this discussion. Okay, let us address addictions. They're bad. No two ways about it, they're bad. But sometimes they do have benefits. If they are controlled, to help somebody, you have to do things that are hard. To go through the experience is hard, but they serve a purpose of learning how to deal with situations. The key to dealing with the situations is listening and offering and self-love, creating that self-love. Any more questions, then?
Just a song I'd like to sing for you.
Okay.
Pull my string and I'll dance for you. I'm your puppet.
You're not my puppet.
I know, darling. I can't laugh out of that, though.
Mm-hmm. See you later, Hal.
Bye, love.
Hi.
Hi, Tia.
Okay. I better put on the official person. But before I do that, I need to address something.
Okay.
What is with his throat?
I think it's just smoking.
Yeah.
Back to cigarettes again.
Yeah, I think so.
It's more harmful to it.
Yeah, probably. Okay.
All right.
Okay, Russ. Okay. Let us go over Kara's dissertation. I'm not a healer. Let us look closely at what she is saying. She is, in essence, following on from where I left off. She is pursuing a avenue. I don't know if it is deliberate. I do not know if anybody in my department, my administrative department, is leaking my dissertations. This is the second time that she's done it, and I think it is great. If they are, then they will not get into trouble or be penalized for this. What is going on is beneficial. It could be karmic that Kara and myself are traveling along the same path at the moment. Certainly, she seems to be giving more information on dealing with medical healing, as well as physical and mental healing. It wouldn't surprise me if she starts dealing with spiritual healing next. Healing is not just taking care of the physical body. You can fix the physical body, but you can also have to fix the mind. And with that, a well-rounded out healer should be able to fix the spiritual problems. or at least be able to address them. So, Kara is pursuing a path very similar to mine at the moment. That's all I can really add at this time. Let me quickly run down over our transcript. The comments about, yes, she does have a big feet. We can probably strike that, but that is between you and Kara. That is about it. Kara's reference to dovetailing nicely with my dissertation we can keep, and rounding out. You two might want to get together when you are editing this and enlarge and clear up the vagueness in that. It strikes me as being a little vague in places. You might want to enlarge the section a little on that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Live long, prosper, and I will be back. Okay. How much tape do we have?
5 minutes.
Okay. That's just us. Oh. Next week, we will have the monster back. Let me see. Oh, I know. Good job I transcribed some of this.
Okay.
What? It reads, my transcription, this is. Hello, Kiri. Hello, Tia. Hello, Mark. Hello, Russ. Hello, Kara, and anyone else I've missed. Big hug to all the cubs, Alex and Leonides, David, Michael, Clara, etc., etc., etc. Doing well, sound and safe, very tired, lucky to be whole and in one piece, and enjoying my chance to rest and unwind as best as I can. Don't worry, I'm perfectly safe. I'm not going to do anything stupid. Promise to come back in one piece, more or less. The idea of returning into a body bag is not my idea of fun, and I guarantee that I will do my... Why in the hell did I put that in there? I will do my best to retain in one piece and not in a messed up intimate state. I think that's about the best way to word what she put down, or rather what she said. It's one of the things of transcribing directly is that you put in exactly what people say. I am sad at the loss of so many good friends and comrades, but such is the price of keeping one's oath. When I come back, Russ, watch yourself. I will give you a demonstration on swordplay you will never forget. Love, hugs, kisses. Pretty much the rest of it was to Kiri, myself, and Mark.
That's a good little shot for her.
Uh-huh.
I don't think she was.
Then this was the first one that we got.
Oh.
Okay, got any questions to round out this session?
Not so much. Just, did Kiri go talk to Sarah for a while?
That's where she is at the moment. She's up at the monastery. She leaves on Thursday or Friday. I don't know. Mark keeps those things straight in his head. She will be back on Sunday night. So I assume that she would be leaving Friday.
We need to get out of there.
We haven't heard directly from her since she arrived at the monastery. All we got was arrive safely, we'll call when I leave. They don't do much in the way of external communication, except for emergency purposes and medical purposes. Probably the biggest offender of using their communication system for, as Amal would put it, frivolous chit-chat, is Kiri and Kara's grandmother. But then...
for good reason.
Oh, yeah. Followed very closely by Sarah herself. But everything seems to be all right. She did send a disc on the dispatch from their leaving, which we do have, where she complained about the rain and Leonidas misbehaving himself on the hike and so on. And I believe she covered that in the call that she made as well. Mm-hmm. I have to talk to Mark about that. He keeps track of things like that, you know. Let me see. No, that's about everything.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I bet she's doing well.
Yeah.
Kind of quiet without her around.
Yes, it is quiet. I miss it. I've got nobody to wrestle with.
Yeah, I can imagine. Lee is there.
Yeah, but it's not quite the same, you know? It's not that connectedness.
Yeah.
And Lee is missing Leonidas.
Yeah, I have gotten closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just one of those things.
That's good. Where's Leah tonight?
Sorry?
Where's Leah tonight?
She's probably helping Mark settle the Cubs thing.
Oh, Mark finally made it there.
Mm-hmm. About 20 minutes or so ago.
Well, I'm glad to hear he might be going back on duty.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all up in the air and everything.
I need more activity.
Oh, I think so too. I mean, spending all that time with the head gardener, or what did he call him?
Man with the cane.
Yes, that's a good one. The man with the cane. Actually, he would make a great guest speaker if I can get him to do so. The man with the cane.
Yeah, he'd wander a bit, though,
wouldn't he? Yes, but picking through would be